America was founded on a Judeo-Christian base, but people of all faiths are welcome here and free to practice their faith. We know that there are many Muslims in America, and that includes those who have left Islam for another faith. Veritas Communications writes, quote, Kenza Haddock was born in Casablanca, Morocco. She moved to the United States with her family at age 12. As a young adult, Kenza was called by God when she had a dream about Jesus. She renounced Islam and became an ambassador for Christ. Kenza is a licensed professional counselor and a board-certified pastoral counselor. She speaks at churches and conferences, telling her story of how God saved her from persecution during and after her conversion to faith in Christ. End quote. Kenza Haddock wrote the book, The Ex-Muslim's Guide to Christianity. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and we welcome Kenza Haddock to the program. Thank you, Kenza, for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. Okay, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. We just gave a quick outline of your story, courtesy of Veritas Communications. I'm going to sit down and just let you tell us your life story, especially where Jesus fits in, okay? For a few minutes.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, go ahead. Thanks.
Yeah, so I grew up in an Islamic household, and so my understanding of just life in general was based on, and it revolved on the fact that I needed to earn salvation. And that's really the essence of Islam. It's they believe that they have to do a certain amount of works to earn their way to have favor with God. And so that was my perspective and my worldview. And so I practiced, they're called pillars of Islam. And unfortunately, this is something that I found even as I gave my life to Jesus, and I've been sharing about the difference between both faiths. I think as believers, sometimes we don't realize that the essence or the foundation of Islam is denying the deity of Christ. And so I grew up, I mean, the first 23 years of my life believing that Jesus is just a prophet, not the Lord. And which, of course, puts Muslims back into that works-based mindset. And so just doing works, and being that I have a very determined nature, I felt like by the age of, I would say, 23, 22, I started feeling like I take three steps forward and two steps back. I felt like as soon as I tried to meet this, like, threshold, the Quran just keeps raising the bar. And the Quran is the book Muslims read. And so I just fell into this state of depression and anxiety. And Muslims believe that anything bad that happens in our lives is a direct punishment from Allah, who is the God of Islam. And so by the age of 23, Jerry, I was convinced that the God of my understanding hated me. And I remember one night I contemplated taking my life because I felt so alienated from God, and I felt like there was no purpose that I had in life. And of course, even my family were looking at me like, you know, God hates you. That's why all these bad things are happening to you. And I was sitting on the couch contemplating ending my life, and I just cried out to God. And that was the first time I actually cried out to whoever was willing to hear me. I didn't practice Islamic rituals that I normally did before prayer. I just said, God, I know you hate me, because that's what I believed. And I just want to know how to earn favor with you, because I thought I could still earn it. Just show me the way to you. And I cried myself to sleep that night. And that night I had a dream that it was the end times. And in my dream, I looked out the window and I saw the sky open and a man in a white robe descending from the sky. And in my spirit, I knew that that was Jesus. And I knew that Jesus was coming back, not Muhammad, not anyone else. And I knew Jesus was the Lord, not just a prophet. And I wish I could tell you I woke up and I gave my life to Jesus and everything was great. But, you know, for a Muslim, giving my life to Jesus, you know, and even Jesus says count the cost. And so for me, the cost was leaving everything I had ever known, including my family, and just starting my life over, because I was basically signing a death warrant on my life, leaving Islam.
It's interesting. Now, the Quran itself says Jesus is coming back, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
It also says, yes, it also says that Muhammad is coming in order to make sure that his people are going to heaven.
Huh,
because
interesting.
Because they believe that, yes, they believe that Muhammad received the quote-unquote final revelation from God, and that they're hoping that Christians and everyone else would convert to Islam. So they believe that their religion is the right one.
So after the dream that you had, then what happened?
It took me about a year, exactly 10 months, to give my life to Jesus, because it's a big deal. And thankfully, you know, God in his mercy and grace, he never stops pursuing us. And so God kept sending me other dreams. And during this time, I used to go to the library and just look stuff up about Jesus and about what this dream meant. And the reason I went to the library was because I needed to be very discreet, because it's a big deal. And so when one day I couldn't deny the reality that Jesus is the Lord. And fortunately, I couldn't remain in the same state I was in and give my life to Jesus. I needed to leave that state for safety reasons. And so I moved to South Carolina. And I'll tell you this, I didn't know how to get saved. I was still under that understanding in my mind, like just salvation by grace and by faith is like, it is incomprehensible to someone who was not raised in a Christian household. And that's something that I remind my brothers and sisters in Christ, that like, we can't just think that someone knows how to get saved. I grew up since the age of 12. I grew up, you know, in the States, and I still didn't know how to get saved. I thought I needed to take tests and quizzes and, I don't know, I guess reach some kind of threshold for me to be accepted to start going to church. I moved to South Carolina, and I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and I just told him about my dream. And I remember in the parking lot, Jerry, he said, he opened his Bible while we were on the phone, and he read Romans 10:9 and said, you know, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, then you're saved. And I said, really? And I was saved in a parking lot right then and there. And weeks later, I started going to church, and in my mind, I gave my life to Jesus again because I was scared the parking lot wasn't holy enough for God. Well, now I know better, but yeah, it was an incredible experience.
Now, when you moved away from your family, even out of the state, whatever state that your family was in or lives in still even, was there ever any threat that they had made? Was there ever any kind of even hint that, oh, I know a lady, in fact, she broadcasts now to the Muslim world. She's from a Muslim background. She became Christian, and she uses the name Sister Light and has this incredible broadcast. But anyway, bottom line is she said when she was 5, she had a dream, and she described it to her mom, and her mom... basically, they had her beaten up because, as she described the dream, clearly it was Jesus. And she said, "Oh, the missionary's reaching you." And then she became an anti-missionary person and so forth. But later became a born-again Christian when she came to the United States after it was many different things that happened. But it's an amazing story. Did your family ever find out that you came to embrace Jesus? And what happened?
Yes. Yes. So I didn't tell them before I left because they wouldn't have let me leave. And, you know, the reality is honor killings, which are dictated by the Sharia law, that's what Muslims believe they're covered under. which state, and I include this in the book, which state that if someone leaves the faith, and the Quran is very prescriptive, it says to bring that person back into Islam, and if they don't, then it gives them permission to kill that person, or else their eternity is jeopardized because they dishonored the family. And even, like, for example, like my parents believe their eternal life is jeopardized because I left Islam. And so I didn't tell them that I was leaving, but they did find out after I left, because when I was the first time they came, my family came after me, was when I was pregnant with my firstborn, and I had met my husband then, and we were expecting, and we just heard like huge like banging on the door. They were trying to open our windows in the backyard, taking pictures of our cars, and it was, as you can imagine, it was very terrifying. And it was within like the first, I would say, 2 years of my walk with Jesus. And so my faith was still kind of on shaky ground, because there was so much I needed to unlearn about.
And this was in this other state that all these things were taking place, your new state, correct?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes, they showed up at our home.
They tracked you down.
Oh, yes, they tracked us down, and they were trying to open our back windows and our doors. And I mean, like, my husband was going to come out, and I told him not to confront them, because I mean, I know what, I read the Quran front to back, so I know what Sharia law dictates. I mean, he would be dead. And so we called the police, and thankfully they were able to send them away. But, and I remember, you know, when we called the police, and I remember they were screaming outside, it was like they were not registering what the police officer was telling them. And that is, hey, you know, this is the United States. She's an adult. She can live, you know, in the freedom that this country affords us. And so it just wasn't registering with them. But he did send them away. But they have come back time and time again. I mean, listen, so my husband and I own a private practice, and thankfully, you know, God has grown it. And they've even shown up and acted like they were walk-in patients to see me or to see my husband. It's to that degree. And unfortunately, you know, I've had to inform our staff, hey, if this person shows up, make sure you call the police. It's nonstop.
You've not been able to ever sit down and talk with them. Well, I mean, it sounds like they're not even willing and reasonable. Oh, my goodness, this is amazing. Do you feel like your life really could be at jeopardy, and that of your family then? It sounds like it, yes.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. More than anything, you know, I have children, and I'll tell you this, one time when they showed up, and I'm not scared of broadcasting it, because I do believe that we as people, as believers, we have to wake up to the reality, right, of what can happen. One time I was, you know, I just ended a session, and a family member showed up and refused to leave. And my children's daycare was across the street. And so at the time, they knew that I was inside the practice, and I made sure that my husband went, grabbed our children, got them home safely before we called the police, and we were able to send them away, because I didn't want to jeopardize my children, something happening to them. I wanted to make sure they were safe, just in case I got followed.
Yeah.
Then I knew they were safe and they were fine.
This is amazing. Well, I want to give your the name of your book again is The Ex-Muslim's Guide to Christianity. The author is Kenza Haddock, who's been our guest on this segment, and her website is kenzahaddock.com. Kenza, thank you so much for your courage and your faith, and God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Sure.